Psalms chapter number 8 and verse number 4. The psalmist says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this opportunity, and we just ask you to help us now that we might be an able minister of the word of God, speak to our hearts. And Father, just teach us from your word and have your hand upon each and every one that we might receive that we stand in need of this morning. I pray in Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. We said that for a few weeks, for the month of August, here we're going to be preaching on some different Bible themes. And we preached last Sunday on the major theme of the Bible, and that is Jesus. Amen, from cover to cover, Jesus. But amen, but we want to look this morning at mankind. Amen. And the psalmist asks here, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? One thing David recognized, and he knew that the insignificance of man, and as he looked at the grand scheme of things and how man had done and what they had done and were, but yet God was mindful of man. Amen. God had his mind upon us, and so he came. And when we speak about mankind, we're speaking about the race or species of human beings. You see, we're all human. Amen. Men, women, boys, and girls. And I know that when you go somewhere, if you fill out information and paperwork and stuff at the doctor's office, at the job, or all kinds of places, one of the things that they'll ask you on there is they'll ask you your race. What race are you? Well, you know what? I don't race no more because I'd lose. Amen. The reality is we're all of the same race. The human race. Amen. Now then, there's different places, ethnicity and those things, but we're all of the human race. Acts 17 and 26 says, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bonds of their habitation." I mean, one blood, one day. God made the human race. That's what He created. He created the race of mankind. And so, we are all of one stock. Amen. So, we ask the question then, well, if we're all of one stock, where did man come from? I mean, that's a question that a lot of people ask that, I mean, I've never had any issues with it. I believe the Bible. I mean, I believe what God says. First of all, I mean, it makes more sense than a lot of other nonsense that you hear. But it simply tells us in the book of Genesis in chapter number 1 in verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Where did we come from? Amen, we came from God. In the beginning, God. And amen, and God created man. Our text here said we're going to make man in our image and after our likeness. And so we see man came from God. Now some claim that we came out of some kind of bubbling soup. I mean that it was just a quagmire of bubbling soup and things of that nature. And maybe somehow part of those particles wound up on land in billions and billions and billions of years, and things began to evolve, and over time it evolved into some kind of life form that evolved into another kind, and right on up until it evolved into Uncle Slim swinging by his tail and eating bananas all day. Amen. And they say that's where we came from. No, that's not where we came from. Amen. And here's the scary part, that there are some scientists, some smart and educated men and women according to this world that hold that view, and amen, they're researching, trying to find answers to many questions when they don't know the answer to the basic one. And I've said this before, I've told y'all before, y'all, some of you were probably here, but the very first missionary that came back years ago, and he talked a little bit about his first mission trip to Africa. And he was teaching on the subject of mankind and creation. And he said, you know, he felt that he needed to explain that he read these verses that God created man. And he said, but he told them about the theory of evolution, and that some scientists and some people think that we came from monkeys. And he said it took about 15 minutes before he said they thought that was the funniest, most ridiculous thing that they had ever heard in their life. Now they were living, amen, what we would call in the boonies of Africa, amen, out where there, you know, no real civilization. And yet, when they were presented with that theory and that thought, they thought that it was hilarious that somebody could think that way and could believe that way. But they do. But the Bible tells us that we're made in the image and the likeness of God, by God, in the beginning. And if you read these verses here, you can gather from these first chapters of Genesis that the crown of God's creation work was that of making mankind. And that He created us in His image and in His likeness. And so this means that man was placed on earth as God's representative, and that mankind in certain ways resembles God. Amen. Not in the way that we look, but amid the certain characteristics God has given unto mankind that we have. And He placed Adam here on this earth to be the representative of God. And you know what we are still to do today? Amen. We should be God's representative on earth. Amen. Mankind. And so where did we come from? We came from God. Amen. We came from God. Well, where are we going? Well, if we'll turn over to the book of Ecclesiastes, you'll find in Ecclesiastes chapter number 12 and verse number 7, it tells us, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was." You see, we're not going to be here forever. Many of our family and loved ones have already gone on. And so verse 7, "Then shall the dust return unto the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." Now in Genesis 2 and 7, it tells us about God, what He did and how He created Adam. Verse 1 tells us He created. Chapter 2 tells us that He formed Adam out of the dust of the ground. And He breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. And so God breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. Mankind became a living soul, formed out of the very dust of the earth. Now Ecclesiastes tells us that one day, amen, as men have died, that they're going to return, their bodies are going to return to where it came from. It's going to return to dust. But it says, "But the Spirit shall return unto God who gave it." In the very beginning, what happened? God breathed into Adam the breath of life. And he began to live. He began to live. Man, therefore, came from God. And man's going to one day return to God. You see, we are God's. Mankind. We are God's creation. And in our preaching last week, we mentioned about that Jesus was going to judge the world. And we're all going to give an account of ourselves before God, because whenever the spirit leaves this body, and the body returns unto the dust from which it came, amen, the spirit is going back to God who gave it. Peter asked a question in 2 Peter chapter number 3 in verse number 11, talking about the final judgment, how things were going to commence. And he said, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Peter says, seeing all this is going to happen, and we're all going to meet God, what kind of person should we be? And there's a lot of folks today that has no idea. They don't believe. But see, here's the thing about not, just because you don't believe something don't mean it's not going to happen. Amen. I've heard things before that wasn't near as important as this. Things that people, I said, "I don't believe that." But guess what? It was so. Me believing it didn't make it. It didn't make it true or untrue. And amen. And so there's many today that don't never have a thought of God. But one day, mankind, whenever they leave this world, they're going back to God. The Spirit's going to return unto God who gave it. We're His. We're going back to God. So, we came from God. We're going back to God. But, where are we now? Where are we right now? Well, the Bible tells us this in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 in verse number 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of mankind is in need of a Savior. Why? Because we were all lost. And now, I've said this before to different people, because everybody wants to talk about, I mentioned a while ago about the race. You know, what race, and we want to divide and distinguish and put people in this category, that bunch. But I've said there's only two classes, group of folks in the world. Saved and lost. I mean, that's the two you can put. You may can categorize other folks and put them in different categories and have a bunch of different columns with it. But in every person on the face of this earth falls into one of those two categories. You're either saved or you're lost. I mean, there's not a third row. There's not a third category. There's not a almost a maybe. I mean, listen, we categorize folks and we put them up in columns. We even do it in the church. Amen. We got Baptists and Methodists and Pentecostals and Episcopalians, and you just keep going. You can run down the list. Listen, not only that, we got all kinds of Baptists. Amen. There's different kinds of Methodists. But the Bible says there's only two groups of folk that we fall into one of two categories. We're either saved or lost. That's where man is. And amen. And the Bible said that all of us, all of mankind, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we all need a Savior. You see, and we know this, but just a brief, quick little history. God placed man in the Garden of Paradise, but it was short-lived. Now, I don't know exactly the time frame. I don't know how long that period lasts, but sin entered the human race, amen, by Adam, and we've all sinned. See, Adam was to represent God, and he disobeyed God, and he sinned, and amen, and sin entered into the race, and that got passed on to Adam's children, and right on to every generation has been born with a sin nature. And I know we talk about them sweet little babies and we get all that they do, but I'm going to tell you what we don't have to do. We don't have to teach them to do what's wrong. We got to teach them to do what's right. Because I'm going to tell you what, that toy right there belonged to me. And listen, it don't matter if I'm playing with it or I'm not. You don't mess with it because it's mine. Now, they're not all. Some of them is different. Some of them ones that's just as sweet as they can be. Boy, they can get things not go their way, and they can pitch a fit. And so what we do, the Bible says bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Amen. To point them in the right direction, to teach them about God, because they're born with a sin nature. We just are. All of us, we're born with that sin nature. And so Adam fell in the garden. And so we find ourselves here on earth, and we live in a world that's marked by sin. And that sin, what did it do? It separated man from God. You see, that's what happened in the garden immediately. The separation, when sin came in, the separation was immediate, because as soon as God came, I don't know how many times God had walked through the garden and called, and they had fellowship with him. But see, it was something that in the cool of evening, here he comes. But on this day, they've disobeyed. And what did they do? They went and they never had hid before. But as soon as sin came in, they hid from God. And it caused separation. And man's been hiding from God ever since. Separated from God. Amen. And so, this is the state of mankind now. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we ask the question, well, sin entered in. God cannot look upon sin. God's a holy God. Does man have any hope? Well, John tells us in John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, Our text verse that we read in Psalm chapter 8 and verse 4 was David asking God the question, what is man that you're mindful of him in all of his rebellion and everything that man has done? And yet, I mean, when man didn't want to have anything to do with you while he was yet sinners, you sent your only Son to die for him. For God so loved the world, he gave us hope. God was thinking about man and mankind. Now, I've heard people ask this question. You probably have too. You know, people say, they talk about, well, you know, well, and why didn't God just make us where we couldn't sin? That question right there, we don't want nobody telling us what time to get up. And yet we want God to make us so that we just got to do everything like a robot. What we're trying to do is to get around that judgment about sin. We still want to do what we want to do. And see, you can't have it both ways. God wanted to show you how much He loved you. God wanted to show me how much He loved me. That while I was yet sinner, He sent Christ to die for me. That He loved me. And amen. And He wants us to love Him. Not because we don't have any choice in the matter, but amen, because He wants us to see the love that He had for us and that He sent His Son into this world to die for us. I heard a song this week. The name of the song, I think, is So You Would Know. I've heard it quite a bit. But the song talks about Abraham and about Isaac and about God calling Abraham and said, I want you to take Isaac and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice for me. And it talks about that walk up that lonely hill and what it must have been for Abraham, knowing what God had said, and taking his son, his only son, and placing him on that altar and going to the very point to lifting his hand and God staying and calling and telling him no. And the song, and it goes to this point that God's telling Abraham, I wanted you to know how it felt when my son walks up that lonely hill. I just wanted you to know how it's going to feel when Jesus walks to Calvary. So when God gave His only Son, you see, there's questions. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care what kind of theologian you are. There's questions in this world about suffering that we can't answer. But I'm going to tell you what God did. He entered right down into the middle of it. And He took part of that suffering. He became flesh. He became like a man. You see, when Jesus came into this world, and we said last week that Jesus was born into this world and they called His name Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. But you know what else He was? He was fully human. He was a man. He was like us. Jesus, amen, was a... So what did He do? We said that Adam, when God created Adam, was to represent God. He was the first Adam. He was to represent God in this world. And He didn't do a very good job. And the reality is, I hadn't done a very good job. But amen, God sent His Son. Amen. He sent His Son into this world. And how good a job did Jesus do of representing the Father? He said, amen, that if you know me, you know the Father. But listen, it's not only that He was a perfect representation of the Father. Amen. He was a perfect representation of us, of humans, of in the flesh. He was a perfect representation of mankind. And therefore, He's the only one qualified, the only one able to put my hand in God's hand and unite us together. Mankind. No wonder David said, what is man that you are mindful of him? We read in Romans chapter number 5 and verse 18, it says, therefore, by the offense of one, and amen, that's talking about Adam in the beginning, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. You see, Jesus came into the world. Why did He come? He didn't come into the world to condemn the world. He came into the world because it was condemned already. Even so, by the righteousness of one. Who was that? Amen. That was Jesus. By His righteousness, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. The free gift, salvation. God made it possible for us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that man could be saved. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Mankind. What's man's hope today? Man's hope is Jesus. That's the hope of mankind. The question is, will we avail ourselves? Will mankind avail themselves of the hope that is in Christ Jesus? Why will you die? Why will you perish? So we see that we came from God. We're going to God. We are in a world in a state of sin. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we still got hope. Because Jesus came. But lastly, this morning, what's going to happen to man? What's going to happen to mankind? I mean, all that hinges on what we do with Jesus. Who's Jesus? Who do we say that He is? That's what Jesus asked to the disciples, to which Peter answered that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hebrews tells us in chapter 9 and verse 27, And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You see, there's the thing that we try to get around. Judgment. Judgment. You see, we have all started from God. We came from God. And we're all going to return to God. I don't believe that. I don't want that. And it don't matter what we want and what you believe. Listen, my daddy told me that more than one time. I don't care what you want. Because they say, it done got judgment time. What I wanted had done come and gone. I had opportunity. And see, we're in a time right now where men has opportunity. We live in a day of grace. What are we going to do with Jesus? God sent Him to save us, but there's time and there's a day coming when the only thing is left is judgment. Where are we going to stand? In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, it tells us, And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now God help us. I don't know about you, but there are many, many times when I'm in different places. Sometimes when I'm watching things on TV, I can be watching a football game or a ball game of any kind, and sometimes the thought just crosses my mind. They'll say, boy, there's 65,000 people here today. It's a packed house. And my question immediately goes to how many of them's going to hell and how many of them's going to heaven. Because see, there's only two places. There's only two ways. Only two destinations. Amen. We said the saved and the lost. And when we stand before God, when mankind stands before God, amen, if we're not found in the book of life, He said they were cast into the lake of fire. Matthew chapter 7. Verse number 13 and 14, Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. There's only two ways for mankind. There is the broad gate of this world, and the broad gate of this world, it's broad. It's got a lot of different angles and ways and theories and philosophies. And And you can jump on and listen. Some folks jump on and they look for the one. You know, it's like that fellow I used to work with when they was talking about religion and different things, and somebody said something. He said, "I like the way that one sounds. I like that one." Another gentleman there standing at the table. Amen. I don't know if I bet he hadn't darkened the door. He hadn't been in church probably two times in his whole life. But he had enough wisdom to know and to say this. What difference does it make if it's not the truth? Amen. Pick you one. Find one you like. What difference does it make if it's not the truth? There's a broad way and then there's a narrow way. How narrow is it? Amen. It's Jesus. That's how narrow it is. It's Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. No man can come unto the Father except, amen, they come by the way of Jesus. And this is the end of all of mankind. That we're going to give an account of ourselves before God. I'm glad that God judged my sins at Calvary in Jesus. That I trusted Christ. God says, in the book of Ezekiel, you stand with us this morning. Ezekiel chapter 33 and 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? As we bow, every head bow and every eye closed this morning, there is hope for mankind, but that hope is only in Jesus. While we wait just a minute this morning, just in silent prayer, if you have a prayer need this morning, I pray that you come. As we think about our lives and where we are and what God has done, what is man that thou art mindful of him? God's mindful of us and you this morning. And I pray while we wait just a minute, if you have a need, you come.